Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Tobacco control continues to be a hot topic as researchers and policymakers search for new and effective methods of reducing Australian smoking rates. New research published in the MJA on 5th of March 2018 has examined retail availability in Tasmania and discusses some progressive retail restrictions as possible policy solutions. Dr. Shannon Melody is a public health medicine registrar at the Menzies Institute for Medical Research at the University of Tasmania. She is also a co-author of the research, and she is my special guest on the pod today. Why did this research need doing?
Well, there's been growing interest in recent years regarding addressing the supply of tobacco. As you're aware, we've had relative successes through tobacco control over recent decades, and that's largely been driven through a suite of demand reduction strategies. Mm-hmm. So recently, public health advocates have been turning to look at the supply of tobacco and how we might be able to address that in achieving further gains in tobacco control. And international evidence has suggested that ease of access to tobacco is associated with smoking behaviour, mm-hmm. in particular youth experimentation, youth initiation, as well as the likelihood that an established smoker is able to successfully quit. We don't understand currently where tobacco is available. Certainly in the Australian context, there have just been two studies to date that have looked at the retail availability of tobacco, one in WA and one in New South Wales. And so we aim to look at the retail availability of tobacco in the Tasmanian context, and specifically looking at the socioeconomic status and remoteness characteristics of suburban towns and how that relates to availability.
Tell us a little bit about your method and who your participants were and what you were trying to measure specifically.
So this was a cross-sectional study. We used the Tobacco Sellers License Database data, and that's a complete register held by the Department of Health and Human Services that contains current and expired licences of those who have held a licence to sell tobacco. And Tasmania is a state where a licence holder needs to renew on an annual basis, so we know that current licence holders are usually active.
That's different from other states, isn't it?
That's right. So Australia has quite varying licence requirements. Mm-hmm. Victoria and Queensland, you don't require a licence to sell tobacco. In New South Wales, you can let the government know that you intend to sell tobacco and you're a licence holder, but then there's no need to update on an annual basis. So there's probably an inflation of licence numbers relative to actual active retailers.
But in Tassie, you regulate that a bit more.
Yeah, Tasmania is quite progressive from the licensing point of view. We mapped the outlets to SA2, Statistical Area Level 2, as defined by the Australian Bureau of Statistics,
yep.
And then looked at the population in that area, so we were able to come up with a density per 1,000 persons.
Okay. And what were your major results? What was your bottom line?
The major result is that tobacco is more readily available in regional and remote areas of Tasmania, areas of greatest socioeconomic disadvantage. Specifically, if you look at towns in outer regional, remote and very remote Tasmania, they had 79% greater tobacco outlet density compared to inner regional Tasmania. And if you look at areas characterised by the greatest socioeconomic disadvantage, they had over two times the number of outlets compared to areas of least disadvantage. And I suspect it's what most people thought was the case, useful in characterising the problem in, you know, being able to look at this baseline description. These analyses and results are very much similar to that published from the West Australian study. It's a little bit different from the New South Wales study because they looked at a larger geographical area. They looked at local government area, whereas we looked at a finer geographical classification. The reason we looked at this SA2 level is that these are areas that the ABS have classified as those that interact in a common social and economic way. Usually contains about 10,000 individuals, so we thought that that was a good denomination and was geographically detailed enough.
So how many retail outlets per 1,000 people, say?
Yeah, so in total there were 769, which equates to 1.54 per 1,000, or probably an easier equivalent way to look at that is one outlet per 650 Tasmanian.
People are suggesting various strategies for cutting down the numbers. Can you detail some of those strategies and what the consequences of those may be?
The current consensus around retail interventions is that best practice would be a mix of strategies, mm-hmm. and that includes licensing, that includes display restrictions at the point of sale, and compliance checks to prevent sales to minors. And then beyond that, there's a fair bit of discussion and interest around what they call progressive retail strategy, and that's an umbrella term to use the licensing system to potentially limit the number of retailers, to limit the type of business that can sell tobacco, or to limit the location of retailers relative to certain youth-populated areas, for example, like proximity to school. So it's looking at the density and the numbers of outlets and interventions that restrict those.
What are the downsides of those kinds of strategies?
Well, essentially, we don't yet have any evidence base to inform policymaking around these retail strategies, around these progressive retail strategies. So that's problematic for a number of reasons. We first of all don't know that it would be effective in reducing tobacco-related consumption and harm. Most likely it would be, but we certainly want to know that an intervention is effective. But then there's also the other considerations, like would the license restrictions be ethical? Would they be equitable and result in reductions in inequities in smoking rather than exacerbating inequities? Also, what are the unintended consequences of policy, which is a really important consideration. Overall, taxation on cigarettes is considered the most effective strategy and intervention to date in tobacco control in reducing smoking. There is some concern that it exacerbates hardship in those that are already on a very limited disposable income who may not have resources to support them to quit. So there are equity concerns around that, but it's regarded as one of the most effective interventions to date.
Can you see that some of these progressive retail strategies, what kind of resistance will they meet? What kind of opposition will they meet if for example, you introduced more restricted licensing regulations?
There could be potentially opposition on a number of fronts. Obviously, tobacco is a commercial product, so there is the interest of retailers and their concerns over loss of profits, for example. There's also the age-old debate in public health around individual responsibility versus people often refer to as a nanny state. And these sorts of progressive strategies would probably be perceived to be more of that on the end of the nanny state spectrum by some members of the community.
If you had a magic wand and you could do anything you liked to reduce the number of cigarettes sold in Tasmania, what would you want to do?
That's a tricky question. Further knowledge is required in this space, an evolving field. Tobacco control historically has quite a robust evidence base, but specifically looking at these supply-focused strategies, this is an area that's still under development and we are still sort of learning. What I would like to see is more knowledge and more research and policy analysis, both in the local context, including Tasmania and Australia, as well as internationally in this space to help guide our decisions such that policy can be evidence-based, because I think that's really important. And so what would be interesting is that San Francisco has recently introduced a cap on licenses for tobacco outlets, and so it'll be interesting to watch what evolves in San Francisco and evaluations that come out regarding whether that was effective and whether there were any unintended consequences inform us here in Australia.
And would a trial then follow?
We can look to epidemiological modelling, which has been done and has found that retail restrictions are likely to be effective in combination with other strategies, reducing smoking rates. But those modelling type studies are limited in their uncertainty and the inability to see what real-life unintended consequences do arise. So that means that the other area that we could look to is a so-called natural experiment. We know that there are retailers that are deciding that they don't want to sell tobacco anymore for a whole host of reasons. And so if you've got a defined area, whether it be a town or a suburb, where it's noted that license numbers do drop quite markedly within a period of time, we could use and explore that area as a bit of a natural experiment to see, well, what impact has that drop in license holders had on smoking in terms of consumption and harms and, yeah, what were the consequences. We have been doing related work looking at why retailers decide to no longer sell tobacco from a voluntary point of view.
Yeah.
And so we certainly do know that, that retailers are, you know, there is a subgroup of retailers that are deciding to no longer sell.
What kind of reasons are they offering?
Essentially, so it's a combination of factors. Mm. Predominantly, it's a business decision around low profit. Because demand overall for cigarettes is decreased in line with reductions in smoking prevalence. It means that it's a less demanded product, but also coupled with the taxation that's applied to cigarettes, it means that retailers aren't really able to mark up their product and still attract consumers. So low profits is a driving factor, as are ethical reasons, regulatory reasons. So just having to hold a license can be quite burdensome for some, and that can certainly contribute to their decision. And health or ethical reasons around not wanting to sell tobacco.
What does your gut say? Do you think it'll be more effective to target the licensees rather than the smokers?
I think it's a combination. I think anything as complex as tobacco smoking, and particularly something as addictive as tobacco smoking, needs to be a multifaceted sort of approach where we, you know, address it in a number of ways. And certainly addressing supply is one additional sort of tool that we haven't really harnessed in full.
Thanks for your time, Shannon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. Mm-hmm.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.